सहनावतु सहनो भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी। विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शङ्करं लोकशङ्करम्। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते। संप्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति दुक्रुन करणे। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते। We'll also chant shloka number 8 together. काते कांता कस्ते पुत्रः संसारो यमतीव विचित्रः। कस्य त्वं कः कुत आयातः तत्त्वं चिन्तय तदिह भ्रातः। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते। In our last class, we saw the meaning. Kate kanta kaste putra. Adi Shankaracharya is saying, who's your wife, who's your children? They don't belong to you. So, he's not saying in literal sense. But he is saying it from the perspective of the truth. When you look at the truth, when you look at the Atma, when you look at the essence, who is your son? Who is your spouse, your beloved? Nobody. There is no such distinction. It is because there is body, there is mind that we have these distinctions. So, it says, when you think about that essence, all of these temporary things are not considered at all. So from absolute, there is no consideration to be given for this Kanta and Putra. Then he says, Samsaraha ayam ativa vichitra. This samsara, from the transaction point also is, if you look at it, is very strange. Don't take the meaning here that says wonderful. Otherwise we'll say, how wonderful is this samsara. Now wonderful is not in the sense that it is good wonderful. It is strange. And the strangeness of the samsara is because of the likes and dislikes that we have created. The unnecessary boundaries that we have placed in our lives. That is what is samsara. This is my house. This is my lawn area. So that means I have to put a fence across. If somebody comes, they're trespassing. Who created all of that? The grass doesn't say, from this area, I belong to 14410. And from this area, I belong to 14409. Oh, there is no such thing. Zip codes. These are all things that we created. That is what is samsara. Samsara is not the land, the objects. They are not binding also. What is binding is this. My land, my place, my family, my belongings. So this samsara is ativa vichitra. And if you see the vichitra, the strange nature of it, then you can come to understand what wife, what children that we are crying about. They don't mean anything. The relations that we think are so strong, the next moment we find that they changed. You may also have witnessed, I have witnessed in my life also, that before mission, I used to be friends with some, you know, school friends and some neighborhood friends. So we used to hang out a lot, do many things, share our personal lives together in many different ways. Then I started mission, went to 2 years. After coming from mission, most of my time activities are with mission. Not saying that all of this is wrong or bad. I'm not struggling with it. But what I saw is that when I started doing this, my activities with them dropped. So because those activities dropped, these friends started thinking that I'm avoiding them. They started feeling that, you know, he really doesn't care for any of us. We have to spend more time trying to maintain a relation with them, with me. So like that, some things come to mind. So now the friend has children, just recently got 2 babies, twins. I had no idea. I came to know from like third source. So that's when I started thinking, you know, how strange is this? Now we used to share many things together. We used to hang out with each other. I used to go to their house. They used to come to my house. And like that, we used to share many things. But now the differences come and then all the relations change. This is the strange nature of the relation. This is what is samsara. So when you have that, you enjoy the moment. Once the moment is passed, you don't grieve over it. But if we had valued that, cherished that idea that this was my life, then obviously we would suffer that I'm now missing the part of my life. But if you know that there is a higher truth, then this is only a part of life. And you are ready to move on. Then many times we find there are people who get into marriage. For a certain period of time, marriages are working wonderful. Then problem starts in the marriage. And then one divorce happens. Okay, I'll find a better one now, next time. But the moha doesn't go. We don't learn from that. And people think, I mean, not we, but those who have gone through the situations, they want another marriage. Maybe that was unsuccessful. Second one will be successful. I have a relative like that. So he recently, you know, got divorced. So now the parents are wanting him to get married. He's not wanting to get married. So many parents do that. You go into marriage. They'll bring photos of girls. Because they think that this is what world means. There is nothing beyond that. So the idea is the vairagya doesn't come. Because we are so stuck with our desire, the vairagya doesn't come. But there is a very nice story of Bhartruhari. King Bhartruhari, he was once given a mango, amrapalam. And this mango was supposed to be a magical mango. Whoever possesses it and whoever consumes it, that person will find great fortune. So this mango was given to a local person, a common man. And the common man thought to himself, what am I going to do with this? I have gotten everything that I wanted because of the king. So if the king is happy, I will be even more happier. So let him prosper because I've gotten all the prosperities I could from the king alone. So thinking this way, he gave that mango to King Bhartrahari. He got the mango. He started thinking, you know, who is it that I love the most that can benefit from this? So he didn't want to consume it for himself. He said, I will give it to my wife. Because if she is happy, I will be happy. My life is only because of her. Thinking this way, Bhartrahari gives the mango to his wife. And you've heard the name, Pingala. You know that name, right? No? Okay. If you go and watch one of our Upanishad Ganga episode, you will see the story there. So he gives it to Pingala. Now Pingala had a connection with a Ashwapal. Ashwapal is those who protect the horses. They take care of the horses. So a stable guy. Not stable. Stable guy. So he gives it, she gives it to him. Because she loved him and thinking that, you know, if I give this to him, he will become happy and I can get rid of the king and he will rule the king and I will be his queen. So from Ashwapal, he will become a king and I will be a queen. So she gives it to him. This stable guy was really unstable. He actually had feelings for a prostitute. So he takes the mango, gives it to the prostitute, and thinking that, you know, she's doing all this job. By this, she will become prosperous, she will become happy, and then she will marry me. And we can go away from here and have our own life and enjoy everything. So thinking that, he gives the mango to that prostitute. And the prostitute gets it. She thinks to herself, you know, I've always dreamed of becoming a queen. If I give this to the king, king will be so pleased with me and he will make me his queen. So I will get a next to position of Pingala. So she takes the mango and gives it to Bhartrahari. He says, this is a very magical fruit. If you consume it, you will be very prosperous. And King Bhartrahari looks at her. This fruit? How did you get this fruit? And he comes to know the hexagon or the pentagon that is going on. And then from that moment, he realized how untrue the relations are. And instead of punishing Pingala, instead of killing her or getting married again, he had an instant vairagya and gave up the kingdom itself. He took up the path of sannyas. We don't get that dispassion. Even if troubles come, we say, I will live through this trouble to gain more trouble. And the reason why that is, we have not seen the strange nature of the samsara. Even though it is illogical, we think it is so logical. Even though the things in the world we have understood cannot give us that satisfaction, we try to find that idea, that logic. How can I make this mine? Why do I have to give up this samsara to get the spiritual enlightenment? Why can't I have both? Then that becomes the tarka. But logic is not everything. Even logic has its fallacies. Logic also can take us to wrong path. Like that, there is one really nice story. There is one, a college student in arts and humanities college. And the professor was a logic professor. So he would teach logic and all of these things to the student. So this boy who was a college student who was there, that college student failed the exam, the final exam. So he failed the logic exam. He goes to the teacher and says, "Why did you fail me?" So the teacher said, "You didn't understand the logic. All your questions, your answers, your responses were illogical. Therefore, I didn't see a point to give you to pass you also." This is the student says to the teacher, "Does that mean you know all the logic that is there?" So the professor is like, "Of course, there is nothing in this world that I cannot provide a logic for. Everything you ask, I have logic for it." He says, "Really, sir, I challenge you." He says, "I accept your challenge. What is it?" "No, not that easy. If you don't answer my logical questions with a logical answer, then you will have to give me A on this exam." "Not even pass, give me an A on the exam." So the teacher's like, "You will fail, I know definitely, because I know every logic that is there." So the student asks, "I will ask you three simple questions. One is, what is it that is legal but illogical? What is it that is legal but illogical? Second question, what is it that is logical but illegal? Logical but illegal. And what is it that is illogical and illegal? Legal, logic, illogical. Logical, illegal. Illogical, illegal." So professor kept thinking, nothing came to him. And finally he said, "I give up. Can you tell me the answer?" He says, "I told you, you're not a good professor. You giving me A or not?" He says, "Okay, fine, I'll give you an A. But you tell me the answer." He gets the A, but the guy doesn't tell the answer and he leaves. So now he's baffled. What just happened? I thought I was the greatest logician. And why does this question not make sense to me? Seems so easy, but I cannot find what is it that is legal but illogical, logical but illegal, and illegal, illogical. Like that he's thinking in his office. And another professor walks in. And the professor who walks in, that professor asks, "Why are you so worried, tensed?" He says, "You know, this thing happened. This student came, failed, asked me this question. I gave him an A." And then this professor asks, "Who was the student?" "Ah, okay, okay. I will tell you. These three questions are very simple." So this professor is even more baffled. "I am a logic teacher. I don't know the answer to this. You have not even taught logic. You know the answer to this? Tell, what is the answer?" "You see, professor, you are 63 years old. But you have married to a 35-year-old. It is legal. Legally, you can marry anybody. But it is illogical. It doesn't fit your norm, the standards. It's illogical. Therefore, it is legal but illogical." "Okay. What is the second one?" "The second one is, you keep a heavy heart with the response that I'm going to give you, but it is true. The logical is, your wife is having an affair with a younger guy, about 25 years old. Now that makes sense, they're both the same age. So that is logical. But it is illegal. So he's even more worried. First I didn't pass this logical test. Now I realize that my wife is cheating on me. Okay, what is it that is illegal and illogical? He says, see that 25-year-old boy? He is a student in your class and he was the one who failed and you gave him an A. So it is neither logical, neither legal. Because there was no connection with him getting an A and failing the test. There was no connection with the question and what he failed. So this professor realized. But this is what the illogical nature of the world is. The world seems so enticing. The relationships means so much to us that even though we know the fallacies, we are willing to look past them. When young couples, they are dating each other, they're meeting with each other, they ignore the whole world like the world does not exist at all. And then somebody says, you know, she's like this, she does that. And you're willing to just put all of that aside. All your logic, all your thinking, all just, you put it behind. Even if you know that it is true, you just put it behind. This is what we have done with the world. That we seem to understand or seem to know, but we want to look beyond it. And therefore, Adi Shankaracharya ji is asking this question. Kate kanta, kaste putra. This vichitra samsara, you think about it. And thinking about it, what should be our focus on? So go to the focus of your identity. Kasyattvam. Kasya, of whom are you? Meaning, whom do you belong to? So can you truly say that you belong to this jati, this dharma, this family group, this business group, this community? All of these are transactional, temporary thing. But if you want to find in this temporary some permanence, see yourself as the source of Bhagwan. Amshaha. So you want to find whom do you belong to? You belong to Bhagwan. You are his Amsha. How we are his Amsha? This whole Jagat is created by him. So as part of the Jagat, we are also his creation. The mind, the intellect, the body is his creation. When we identify with that creation as one, then my unity is more. One interesting example I was reading on is if you have two beakers of glass, correct? And you want to measure the water level to be the same in both beaker. How can you make sure that both have the same level of water? So the easier way to make sure that both have the same level of water is you tie the two beakers with a tube going from one to another. And then you pour the water in one, it'll fill up at an equal level in both. But if you pour in one and you pour in the other, you won't. If we unite like that with the whole world, our unity with Bhagwan is understood. So if we are in the transactional realm, what is our connection with the whole world? I am only an amsha of Bhagavan. So my permanent, my more stronger relationship is to be understood with Bhagavan. And if I understand that relation, all the other relationships, I will know how to maintain them. I will know how to live and be happy with them. But if I only give precedence some relation, then I'm bound to suffer. Because when those break, or when new relations break, there will always be conflicts. But if you ask at the transcendental level, at the absolute level, then ask Kahatvam, who are you? Ask ourselves this question, am I this body? Am I this mind? Am I this intellect? How often do we ask these questions? And if we go on asking this question, just asking the question, we know the answer, but just asking the question will create this curiosity of wanting to know this nature. The nature is, we are the absolute. I am the Brahman. But I need to inquire. I need to have this thinking mind. And kuta ayata? Where have you come from? So this vichara, this thought, comes because of discrimination. Because of viveka shakti. But that viveka shakti cannot happen if we are so engrossed in the world. So therefore, Maharaj is telling us, separate yourself from the world so you can develop a vichara shakti. And with that inquisitive mind, what you must do is presented with the next shloka. So let us go into shloka number 9. Oh, and then before he concludes this shloka number 8, he says, Tattvam chintaya tad iha bhrataha. Here itself, you must contemplate on this. Here itself means in the human birth you have gotten. Because without human birth, the thinking is not possible. We have that capability to think. And our Pujya Gurudev used to always say, whenever he used to say a profound something that is meaning with it, he would say, think. And then people would think a little bit, and he would say again, think again. Because if we thought we have thought about it, don't be satisfied with that. Continue the thinking process. So think and think again. Here in this birth, because we have a human birth, which is the most precious, an ability to think. And then he says, Bhrataha, oh dear brother, I am not giving you this as advice as a guru. I am giving an advice as a brother. So as a brother, I want you to benefit from this. My full intention is that you benefit from this. Therefore, I am giving you this. And brother, he says, is we are connected because Ishvara. We are children of the Ishvara, so we are connected in this way. So you and I are not different. Don't think of us as different. And therefore, you follow this. So when the vichara grows, what happens? That is explained with the next shloka.
Satsangatve nisangatvam.
Satsangatve nisangatvam.
Nisangatve nirmohatvam.
Nisangatve nirmohatvam.
Nirmohatve nischalatatvam. Nishchalatatve jivana mukti.
Nishchalatatve jivana mukti.
Bhaja govindam, ಗೋವಿಂದಂ ಭಜ ಮೂಢಮತೆ.
ಸತ್ಸಂಗತ್ವೇ ನಿಸ್ಸಂಗತ್. ಸೊ ಆಸ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಪ್ರಾಬಬ್ಲಿ ಸೀ ಇನ್ ದ ಶ್ಲೋಕ, ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಲ್ಯಾಡರ್ ಆಫ್ ರೈಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್. ಸೊ ರೈಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಲೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಅಸ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ದ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್. ಸೊ ಹೌ ಟು ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಸತ್ಸಂಗ. ಸೊ ಸತ್ಸಂಗ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ವಿತ್ ಸತ್. ಸತ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಮೀನ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್, ಸತ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಮೀನ್ ಗುಡ್, ಸತ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಮೀನ್ ದಟ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಬೆನಿಫಿಷಿಯಲ್. ನೌ ದ ಥಾಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಟೆಂಡೆನ್ಸೀಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್. ಇಫ್ ದೋಸ್ ಟೆಂಡೆನ್ಸೀಸ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ ಆನ್ ಅವರ್ ಓನ್, ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್, ತಾಮಸಿಕ್ ಟೆಂಡೆನ್ಸಿ, ರಾಜಸಿಕ್ ಟೆಂಡೆನ್ಸೀಸ್, ಇಫ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ ಆನ್ ಅವರ್ ಓನ್ ಆರ್ ಈವನ್ ಬೈ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್, ದೆನ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಮೇಕ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸಿಯರ್. ಇಫ್ ಆಲ್ ರಾಜಸಿಕ್ ಟೆಂಡೆನ್ಸೀಸ್, ದೆನ್ ಯು ಪುಟ್ ದೋಸ್ ರಾಜಸಿಕ್ ಪೀಪಲ್, ನಾಟ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ರಾಜಸಿಕ್ ಪೀಪಲ್, ಒನ್ ಆರ್ ಟು ವಿತ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕ್ ಪೀಪಲ್, ದೆನ್ ದಟ್ ಟೆಂಡೆನ್ಸಿ ಇಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಚೇಂಜ್ ಓವರ್ ಟೈಮ್. ಇಟ್ ಮೇ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ಒನ್ ಡೇ, ಬಟ್ ಓವರ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಚೇಂಜ್. ಯು ಪುಟ್ ಒನ್ ನಾಟಿ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಪೀಸ್ಫುಲ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್, ದ ಹೋಪ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ನಾಟ್ ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ನಾಟಿ. ದ ಹೋಪ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಹೀ ವಿಲ್ ಲರ್ನ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಮೋರ್ ಪೀಸ್ಫುಲ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿ ಅದರ್ಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಇಫ್ ದಿ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ದಟ್ ಆರ್ ಡನ್ ಆರ್ ಮೋರ್ ಪೀಸ್ಫುಲ್, ಆಬ್ವಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ದ ಚೇಂಜ್ ಇಸ್ ಈಸಿಯರ್. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಸತ್ಸಂಗ ಇಸ್ ಮೆಂಟ್ ಟು ಮೇಕ್ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಅವರ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅವರ್ ಟೆಂಡೆನ್ಸೀಸ್ ಈಸಿಯರ್ ಬೈ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಫೈಂಡ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ವ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಟೂ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್, ಐ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಇಟ್, ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಇಟ್, ಐ ಲೈಕ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್, ಇಟ್ ಮೇಕ್ಸ್ ಮೀ ಫೀಲ್ ಗುಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ, ಬಟ್ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಆಫ್ ದೀಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಟು ಡೂ, ಆರ್ ಐ ಫೈಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಟೂ ಬಿಸಿ. ದೆನ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ವ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ದೋಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ದೋಸ್ ಟೈಮ್ ದಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಅಲೌ ಮೀ ಟು ಗೋ ಟು ದ್ಯಾಟ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್ ಆಟೋಮ್ಯಾಟಿಕ್ಲಿ, ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಥಿಂಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಸ್ಟೇಜ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್. ದೆನ್ ಸತ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್, ಇಫ್ ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್, ದೆನ್ ಹೌ ಇಸ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ವಿತ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಚೇಂಜಿಂಗ್ ಅಸ್? ಸೊ ದೆನ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಮೆನಿ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಚೇಂಜಿಂಗ್ ಅಸ್, ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ದ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಚೇಂಜಿಂಗ್ ಅಸ್. ಯು ಲುಕ್ ಎಟ್ ದ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ರತ್ನಾಕರ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ನಾರಜಿ. ದಟ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಹಿ ಗಾಟ್, ದ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಹಿ ಗಾಟ್, ದಟ್ ಚೇಂಜ್ಡ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಟು ವಾಲ್ಮೀಕಿ. ದೆನ್ ವಿ ಲುಕ್ ಎಟ್ ದಿ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಂಗುಲಿಮಾಲ್. ಅಂಗುಲಿಮಾಲ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅನದರ್ ರಾಕ್ಷಸ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ಹಿ ಯೂಸ್ ಟು ಕಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ಸ್ ಥಂಬ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫಿಂಗರ್ಸ್, ಹೂ ಎವರ್ ವುಡ್ ಗೋ ಥ್ರೂ ದ ಫಾರೆಸ್ಟ್. ಸೊ ಹಿ ವುಡ್ ಕಟ್ ದಮ್ ಅಪ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ವುಡ್ ಮೇಕ್ ಅ ಮಾಲಾ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿ ವುಡ್ ವೇರ್ ದಟ್ ಮಾಲಾ. ಸೊ ಹಿ ಕೇಮ್ ಅಕ್ರಾಸ್ ಗೌತಮ್ ಬುದ್ಧ. ಗೌತಮ್ ಬುದ್ಧ ಗೇವ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಸಿಂಪಲ್ ಲೆಸನ್, ಹಿ ಚೇಂಜ್ಡ್. ಯು ಲುಕ್ ಎಟ್ ನರೇಂದ್ರ, ಹು ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ವಿವೇಕಾನಂದಜಿ. ಸೊ ಅ ವಿಚಾರ, ಅ ಥಾಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಡ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಹೂ ದೇ ಆರ್. ಇಫ್ ಯು ಲುಕ್ ಎಟ್ ಅವರ್ ಗುರುದೇವ್, ಬಾಲನ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಚಿನ್ಮಯಾನಂದ. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಫಾರ್ಮೇಶನ್ ಇಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅವರ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್. ಸೊ ಅವರ್ ಸತ್ಸಂಗ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಅ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಅಪ್ಲಿಫ್ಟಿಂಗ್, ಅ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ meant for my own personal self or own personal self. So that knowledge is what I should cherish, not the knowledge about what is happening in the stock market or the knowledge about what happened in the media following the, you know, the stars and their gossips. But knowledge about me, my associations, my thinking, this is a satsanga. And when I do that, it leads to nisanga. How does satsanga lead to nisanga? So when satsanga happens, when this association happens, one is our time from dussanga is gone. Whatever time I was devoting for dussanga, I will not devote because I am devoting. That is one way. The other is, with satsanga, I am getting this vichar so that viveka shakti is increasing. So where there is viveka, there is vairagya. Because if viveka arises, then I know that this is permanent, this is impermanent. Tattva bodh. Viveka kaha, nitya nitya vastu viveka. And viraga kaha, iha mutra phala bhoga viraga. Iha, here, amutra. From hereafter. Phala bhoga, the desire to enjoy the fruits. Dispassion. Because I know it is impermanent. If it is impermanent, why would I want to go and enjoy that? Dispassion becomes easier. So nisanga becomes easier because viveka shakti arose. Vairagya came about. So this process of satsanga to nisanga happens through shravan. Shravan, which leads to viveka, vairagya, shamadhi, shatka, sampatti and mumukshutva. From Shravan, still doubts are there. Just because I have disassociated with few things, that doesn't mean that it is done. I don't have perfect control over my mind. I don't have perfect control over my senses. If right now, you know, people start playing band outside, my attention will go there. All the focus that I have built about Bhaja Govindam will just dissolve. Because the control is not there. So nisanga also happened. But to make it perfect, to nirmohatva, I need to contemplate. So that happens through manan. Because the world will always continue to throw many stimulus towards us. And mind which has not trained itself, one time dispassion is not enough. It has to continue over and over and over again in order for it to become a complete delusionless state. So how do we become delusionless is by contemplating. So when I contemplate, I think about this idea of this impermanent not going to make me happy. Why is this impermanent not to be given any value? Another interesting fact that I was reading about that Pujya Gurudev gives, the four steps you probably may have seen through multiple texts that you have read. He says the four steps are introspection, then introspection, detection, negation, and substitution. So introspection is, we ourselves watch our thoughts. And we have to be very honest when we are watching our thoughts. And we should be allowing those thoughts to present themselves. So whatever those thoughts are, we should just sit like a, you know, this is my open book that I'm opening for my own self. And watch as those thoughts start flowing out. And as they flow out, I should only observe them, not get entangled with them. That's the process of introspection. Detection is knowing what those thoughts are. Detection is watching those thoughts present themselves in the transaction. So as we are transacting, I saw that spark of anger that came into me. And as it came to me, I detected it. That's all I did. I don't need to do anything further. I just had to detect it. Introspection just allowed me to open the box of the thoughts that I have. Detection allowed me to see those tendencies that I have. Negation is where we are removing those tendencies, saying that these tendencies are no longer useful for me. That is negation. That these tendencies I want to be associated with. I want to be associated with that which is positive, that which makes me courageous, that which makes me strong, that which makes me a superhuman. Those are the tendencies that I want. So, that is negation. But negation is not enough. I have to substitute it with a positive thought. So, I have a thought that I negated, but then I have to substitute it. And not only just that, I have to again visualize that in my action, that the substitution has worked. I saw that an anger was coming in me. I detected it. I told myself that this anger is wrong. I dismissed it. I should place it with a positive thought. I also went to that stage. But then I have to observe myself actually applying those. And when I see that it has been applied, next time that arise for anger came, but I did not get angry, I caught myself. Substitution worked. But if I stop only with this thought that I should just substitute it, I have not gone towards actually visualizing it, that did it really work? So substitution is when we actually see it working and we follow this process. This is the process of manan. Taking a thought, opening it up, able to see the greater length, the greater beauty of our own mind after getting rid of all the junk. So satsanga with manan will lead to nirmohatva. Nirmohatva, once we are delusion free, once we know that this is my path, this is my goal, this is what I have to do in life, then to get to the state of steadfastness, to get to that state of being focused, happens through Nididhyasana. Nididhyasana is a practice of meditation where our only goal, only focus is self-realization. In that I cultivate this thought, I am this Brahman. And this Brahman is the only thing that I achieve. That is the idea I am giving from the perspective of a seeker going through Jnana Marga, adopting Shravan, Manan, Nididhyasan. So Nididhyasan leads to Nishchala Tattva, where only one steady thought is there in the mind. I want to attain self-realization. And once we become steadfast, then we put it into autopilot and let it carry us to Jivan Mukti. Because we cannot take it to, then it is Bhagwan. It is not in our hand. Because if we say it is in our hand, then my ego was there till the end. So my ego was the cause for my self-realization. Ego cannot be the cause for self-realization. Therefore, from Nishchala Tattva to Jivan Mukti happens through constant practice of Nididhyasana, which leads to Samadhi. the state of complete cessation of the mind, thoughts in Brahman, in the truth. That is the state of samadhi. And when we are in samadhi, once we arise from samadhi, that is jivan mukti. And this all happens with bhaj govindam, bhaj govindam, govindam bhaj moodamate. So the start is bhaj govindam and the end is the self-realization. But you can take this also from the other path. It doesn't have to be just a jnana marga. Nishchala tattva means I don't have to go into meditation to be firm in what I do. We find many saints who are very firm in their action. Narasimha Mehta, he didn't have to do meditation. He would walk down the street and the only thought that he would have is of Bhagwan. So that is how he focused and made everything in his life happen. Samartha Ramdas, guru of Shivaji. Then we have so many saints in South also, Tyagaraj. So like that, what is their life meant? The nishchalata in their life, that steadfastness was Bhagwan. So you can be awake and still be in meditative state because your focus in life is only one. There is no multiple focus. But because there is no other moha left, therefore the focus is one. And once you reach that, you continue doing that, it is jivan mukti only. So this fall or this rise has been presented for us. With this, we'll conclude the topic for the day and we will come back next year. I will be leaving for a trip to India tomorrow. So I will not be here. There is one class next week, but because I will not be here, so we'll have to cancel the class. Then week after, I believe, is the teacher's meeting. And then 2 weeks are off for holidays. So more time is allowed for satsang. So have a wonderful satsang with everybody, with Bhaja Govindam also, with your relatives, your friends, and happy holidays also to everyone. Okay. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudam.